We're going to be in the 41st chapter of Isaiah this morning, Isaiah chapter 41, and I'd like to bring you a message on the subject of fear, The word fear is used over 500 times throughout the pages of Scripture. The word afraid is used over 200 times throughout the Scriptures. So it's used quite frequently. That's not including all of the references that we find to somebody that trembled, to somebody that was troubled, to somebody that was uneasy, if you will. And so we find this, again, is a very frequent topic in Scripture, this idea of fear. And as I begin to think about that and realize the frequency it's used in Scripture, I understand today that there are many things in the world that would make God's people become fearful. There are many things that obviously are going on in the world even today that we might be fearful of. And one of the reasons probably that we're more fearful than we should be, I'll say, is probably because we pay too much attention to the news. We pay too much attention to the things that are going on in this world. And we have all of those other fears within ourselves. We have fears perhaps of our own job and our own financial security. We have fears maybe about health struggles that we're facing in this life. We might have fears for any number of reasons, but then we turn on the news and it's like every other fear that every other person has in this world is now in our living room. And we're fearful of things that are happening overseas. Oh my goodness, what if those murder hornets reach their way to Indiana? What if, you know, this virus just has a second wave that they're predicting? And we just have all of these news anchors and so forth. And I'm not down on the news today necessarily, but I'm saying that they like to sensationalize things. They like to make things worse than really what they might be because they want to get viewers and they want everybody to buy their product, to listen to their newscast. And so one of the ways they do that is they say, you better tune in for this big and breaking news, this happening event, if you will. And so it can make us very fearful in our lives. But dear friends, I would tell you this morning that the Lord would not have us to be fearful. In fact, we're told very explicitly that He's not given us unto a spirit of fear. But on more than 70 occasions throughout the Word of God, you'll find this very expression, to fear not. To fear not. More than 70 times throughout the Bible, God says to His people, fear not. Now, as we think about that expression, fear not, and again, there's been many times in my life that I've probably feared things, and going forward, I'm sure there'll be times when I'll have some fear in my life. But somebody has always usually come around at an appropriate time and they'll say, well, Brother Nathan, you don't need to fear. It's going to be okay. Everything's going to be all right. And I've done that to others myself. They'll be scared. They'll be afraid of something. And I'll take them in my arms and I'll say, it's okay. You don't need to be scared. You don't need to be fearful. But what's interesting, as I began to look at these expressions throughout the Bible of when God says, fear not, God always gives us a reason, an explicit reason, as to why we're not supposed to fear. I don't usually do that. You know, I have a shortcoming in doing that. When I'm trying to comfort somebody and I say, it's all going to be okay, or they're doing the same to me, that's usually about the end of it. But, you know, God's obviously knows more than we know. He obviously makes up for our shortcomings, if you will, and He always gives a very explicit reason as to why we're not supposed to fear. I'll just give you one by example this morning. In Luke chapter 12, Christ is speaking to His disciples, and He says, fear not, little flock, for it's your Father's good pleasure to give unto you the kingdom. Now, there was a small group of His disciples that were fearful because of the Jewish people of that day, and they felt somewhat persecuted, if you will. They obviously were feeling as though there was something to be scared of, and He's saying, you shouldn't be that way. The Father, my Father, has given you something, and that which you possess it because God wants you to possess it. It's the Father's good pleasure that you have the kingdom. And of course, we can take great comfort in that today. Of course, we're in a little kingdom today. We understand that. But we don't need to be fearful because we're small. We don't need to be fearful because we don't have large groups in attendance, if you will. Because we understand that if God is with us, then we have no reason to fear. That it's His good pleasure that we inhabit this kingdom, if you will. But that's just one example of where God explicitly in His Word gives us a reason not to fear. Now, there are different types of fear that's mentioned throughout the Bible. One, of course, that you'll find is the fear of God. And that's something that we are to have. We are to have an appropriate amount of fear for the Lord, if you will. Now, some will look at 1 John chapter 4 and verse 18. And John writes there, he says, "There is no fear in love, but perfect love chaseth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love." Some will take verses like that and they'll say, well, if you are a fearful person, if you have any fear whatsoever, then you're not a spiritually mature person. That you're not a perfect person. That's what the word perfect there means. Not blameless, but mature. They'll say, you're not a spiritually mature person. If you have any sort of any fear. And they'll say, some in the religious world, that fear and faith cannot live together. That fear and faith cannot coincide. But that's not true. That's not true. There is an appropriate amount of the appropriate fear that we should have as the Lord's people. As I said, one of them is a healthy fear of God. Now, that doesn't mean that we're afraid to call on God, that we're afraid to go to Him in prayer. That doesn't mean that we dread any fellowship with God or Him being in our lives. That's not what it means. When it talks about fearing God, it means to have this respect and this reverence for God, for who He is, for His omnipotence, that He is the sovereign God, and that He's ruling and reigning in your life. And that is what it means to have the fear of God. In fact, we find throughout the pages of Scripture that having a fear of God is actually a blessing in our life. And it's actually a great evidence that we are a child of God. You know, Paul writes about the unregenerate man in Romans chapter 3. He gives about 14 reasons or 14 characteristics of the unregenerate man in Romans chapter 3. And one of them there is that the fear of God is not before their eyes. The unregenerate man has no fear of God, no concept of God. They don't understand anything about Him. But we who fear God, that is an evidence to us that we are children of God. And Solomon says on two occasions in the book of Proverbs that the fear of the Lord or the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom and the beginning of knowledge. So it's a great blessing to us that fear the Lord. And we should have, as I said, a healthy fear of the Lord. Not dreading Him, not fearing Him as though we were terrorized by Him or something like that. But understanding Him and His greatness and the attributes of Him. But I believe too that God has given us a natural fear. A natural fear that is given to us to protect us, if you will, in this life. I think I don't know what term you want to put on it. I'm just calling it a natural fear, if you will. Something, again, that we have that is to help us, to protect us. Something that would be very similar to common sense, if you will. Although common sense doesn't seem to be so common anymore. But the point is, I believe we have fear in that sense. You know, I'm afraid of being in high places next to ledges, if you will, where there's nothing securing me. I think that's okay to be afraid of that because I don't want to fall off that cliff. You know, they have these glass rooms in skyscrapers in Chicago. They have glass overlooks at the Grand Canyon. And I understand that the views out there are probably amazing, but I don't know if I want to step out on those things. I'm kind of fearful of that. I'm afraid of snakes. Just that fear that I have of snakes tells me I don't want to own a lot of snakes and have them in my house. I'm afraid of getting burned on the oven, and that's why Sister Tori does most of the cooking. I'm afraid of knives. I'm afraid of getting cut by the chainsaw when I'm out cutting trees and so forth. You know, those are healthy fears in our lives. If we don't have those types of fears, what kind of life would we have? It would be a reckless life. be a very dangerous life, if you will. And I'm afraid of getting into a car crash, and that's why I don't get in my car and drive 100 miles an hour down the road, because I don't want to be in a car crash. That's okay. I think God's given us that fear, that common sense, if you will, to help us in this life. Now, let me say, last night I went down to my office in downtown Marion, and I went there to get my laptop because there was going to be some protesting and things like that. And I thought, well, I better get that out before they break into the place. I don't know if they would have or not, but I'd be fearful to be in a riot. I'd be fearful to be downtown Fort Wayne in these riots, or in Minnesota in those riots. I'd be fearful to be in those places. And let me say something this morning, not to get political this morning, but these riots that are going on, if you have any sympathy for those people, stop it. You should not have any sympathy for these people that are rioting and destroying businesses. You should have no sympathy. You say, well, they're out there for justice. They're out there for vengeance. You know what the Lord says? He says, vengeance is mine. You leave that up to God. If you feel like there's a great injustice that's been served, you let the Lord deal with that injustice. You know, I know of a man by the name of Paul in Scriptures that was beaten and stoned and left for dead by the authorities. And he didn't get up and start rioting, and he didn't call the Christian people to riot on his behalf. No, he left that to the Lord, and he went about preaching the gospel. That's what the Lord's people should do. We shouldn't have sympathy for these people. They're using this as an excuse to vandalize and to steal and just serve themselves, if you will. But I'm telling you what, I'd be fearful to be in those mobs. I'd be fearful to be in those places. Because again, I have a little bit of common sense, I trust, that the Lord's given me. And that's okay to have that sort of fear. And you say, well, Brother Nathan, doesn't having fear just mean that you're not trusting God enough? Doesn't it just mean that there's an empty place in your heart, if you will, where you just don't have enough faith in the Lord? Well, no, I find that fear and faith can actually go hand in hand. In the book of Hebrews, we find that Noah is a perfect example of that. In the book of Hebrews, we find that Noah, by faith, being warned of things of God that are not yet seen, moved with fear and preparing an ark for the saving of himself and his family. You see, Noah had faith, but Noah also had fear. He was afraid of the floods that God warned him about. He was afraid that he was going to have his life taken. He was afraid for his family's safety. And so that fear that he had, it actually helped him in doing what God wanted him to do in preparing that ark. You see, fear and faith are not polar opposites, or they don't have to work against one another. They can sometimes go hand in hand, even as they did in the life of Noah. And so, again, I say it's appropriate to have an amount of fear as far as a healthy fear of God. It's appropriate to have a fear in this life that would help us as far as protecting our own well-being, if you will. But when the Lord talks about having no fear, when the Lord talks about fearing not, he's talking about unnecessary fears. He's talking about fears that you have that cut against the very promises that he's given you. These fears that you have that cut against the faith that you should have. And there's one particular verse in Isaiah 41 that I want to focus on today. Isaiah chapter 41 and verse 10. We find there, "Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee, yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness." Now, first thing we should consider is this verse applicable to us? Well, we understand it's applicable to the children of God today, the spiritual house of Israel. In verse 8, he says, "But thou, Israel, art my servant, Jacob, whom I have chosen, the seed of Abraham, my friend." So this promise that God is given to the chosen people of God. More than that, it says in verse 9, "Thou whom I have taken from the ends of the earth and called thee from the chief men thereof." You see, this is to a chosen people, to a called people. That is the family of God, if you will. We have been chosen and called by God. So this wonderful promise that I can't even begin to expound upon this morning and do justice to the text, this applies to us. This applies to all of our lives today. And so he very plainly says, "Fear not and be not dismayed." You see, fear, as I've already alluded to, is a very common condition of man. And I think that's why the Lord speaks to it so frequently. I think that's why, again, we find over 700 times at least throughout the pages of the Bible that it refers to the fear of man. Because the Lord knows that we're worrywarts. The Lord knows that man is fearful. The Lord knows that we have cares that we take upon ourselves and that we put tomorrow's trouble on today. Do you do that? Does anybody else do that? I know I do that. I'm always looking forward a week or 2 weeks or even a few months, and I'm putting all of that worry and all that stress on today. And I think that's why the Lord, again, so very often tells us that we shouldn't fear, because He understands that man, by his fallen nature, is a fearful being. I believe fear came about after the fall of man. I believe before that time, Adam would walk in the garden with God and rejoiced to be with the Lord. And they had wonderful fellowship and communion that you and I can't even begin to comprehend. But then in Genesis chapter 3, after obviously they had disobeyed the law of the Lord, it says that they went and hid themselves in the trees of the garden. And God, they asked, where art thou? And they said, or Adam replied unto him, well, Lord, we heard your voice in the garden and we were afraid. You see, I think the fall of man is what brought about this fear in man, this fearful nature that we have, if you will. And so fear continues today because sin continues today, doesn't it? Even in the best of men, we're still going to find times of fear, I believe, because even the best of men are still sinners, aren't they? Now, for whatever reason, I think that there are some that are more fearful than others. There are some that just have leaning towards having more fear, if you will. They just seem to have a little bit of extra dose of fearfulness, if you will. You know, they just know that something's going to happen to them. They just know that something's going to happen to them financially. They just know that something's going to happen to their business, that it's going to fail. They just know they're going to have some huge health issue. They just know that their house is going to be destroyed for some reason. They just know all these terrible things are going to come about, even though none of them have happened. They just know it. And all of these imaginative things in their minds have become a reality to them, and they're just fearful, even more so than most. And if you find yourself in that position, I don't mean to treat you harshly today, but I would to God that you would not have those fears. I would to God that you would be strong and that you would continue to be a courageous person and having great faith in the Lord. None of those things having happened yet, for some reason, people just fear these things. They want to put themselves in a bubble. They never want to go or do anything because something is bound to happen to them. But as I said, even the strongest men have times of fear. David, we find on one occasion, even though he had faced Goliath, even though he had faced armies and prevailed under the strength of the Lord, yet we find that he waxed faint. That is, that he was fearful for a time. Or we find the prophet Elijah, who again was a mighty prophet of the Lord, for whatever reason at a time, he went and sat under a juniper tree and he said, Lord, that's enough, just take my life. He had become fearful, grown fearful at that time. Or what about Zacharias, the father of John the Baptist? Do you know what the Bible says about Zacharias? It says that he was a righteous man and that he was a blameless man. I mean, you talk about a strong man of faith. Zacharias was that. Zacharias was very well up in years and he had dedicated his life to the Lord and to the temple service of the Lord. And he was a very dedicated man of faith. But yet when the Lord came to him and told him he'd have a son, it says that he feared. Because of the fear that he had, the Lord shut up his mouth for 9 months. You know, even as I said, men of great faith still have times of fear. And I don't say that today to encourage fear within you, to say, well, they had fear, so it's okay if I continue fearing. I'm not saying that to encourage fear, but rather I want you to understand today there's no reason to fear. I want you to notice here in Isaiah chapter 41 and verse 10 again that the command to fear not and to not be dismayed is absolute and unqualified. We're to have no fear. He doesn't say, well, fear so much, but not beyond that. He doesn't say it's okay to have a little fear. He doesn't say, just don't fear so often. Just cut back on your fear a little bit. No, he doesn't say that. He doesn't say, be not utterly dismayed. That is, to just be dismayed a little bit. No, he doesn't say anything like that either. These are unqualified commandments of the Lord. We're to fear not, and we're to not be dismayed. You say, well, Brother Nathan, why such a strong commandment of the Lord? Well, first of all, I believe fear is a sin. Fear is a sin. And fear, it causes sin. It results in sin, or it is the result of sin, as I said, but it also can cause sin in our lives. It's the same as telling God, I don't believe you. That's what fear is. It's the same as telling God, I don't believe you. I know that you've told me these things. I know that you've given me these wonderful and precious promises, but I just don't believe you. And I can think of no other statement to God that would be of greater dishonor and greater disrespect than, I don't believe you. I mean, if God cannot be trusted, then He cannot be God. If God is not true, He's not worthy of our worship and adoration. You see, there's just nothing greater, in my mind at least, that you could say against the Lord with greater respect than, God, I simply don't believe you and what you've told me. But that's what fear is. Fear is simply saying, God, I just don't believe you. Fear robs us of our joy and the happiness and the contentment that we're supposed to have in our lives. You know, we're supposed to rejoice evermore. We're supposed to be happy people rejoicing in the Lord. We're supposed to be content people in whatever state of life we find ourselves. But when we're giving ourselves to fear, that just robs of all those things that we're supposed to have in our life. And I believe fear weakens our influence that we can have on others. You know, fear doesn't convert faith. Faith converts faith. Fear doesn't convert faith. Faith converts faith. Now, I think about some occasions that we see in the Bible, perhaps in John chapter 1, when Philip went to Nathanael. You know, when Philip went to Nathanael, he didn't have any fear, really. He didn't express any fear of any kind. He says, we found the Messiah. Come and see. Or what about the Samaritan woman? Christ had met her there at the well in John chapter 4 and told her all the things that she had ever done. And she didn't have any fear on that occasion. She went back to her village and she told all the people. And we're told that they believed on the Lord. They came and saw Jesus because of her statements to them. You see, these people of faith, they converted others. But you can't do that if you're a fearful person. You know, if you claim to be a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ and you're all the time just fearful and you're all the time just wringing your hands and worrying and just having a hard time, you know, dealing with things and so forth, just being fearful all the time, those outside are going to say, well, there must not be much to that Christian faith. There must not be much to that. I don't understand why I should even go after such a thing. It's not helping this person any. They're still very fearful over here. You see, it weakens our influence that we can have on others and the possibility to convert some to the truth. But it's not fear that converts faith. It's faith that converts faith. But now I want us to look, though, at the rich part of the text. As I said, I can't even begin to expound on this and unearth the treasures that are in this verse. But I want you to notice the rich part of this text. Remember, God always gives a reason why we shouldn't fear. Five times in this verse, you'll see thee or thou. Five times. If you count them when you get home or count them now, you'll find five these or five thous. You'll also find five eyes. Five these and thous and five eyes. I think that's wonderful. I just rejoice when I see that and understand that. It just makes my heart jump with gladness because what I see there is that in my times of shortcoming, in my times of shortfall, the goodness of the Lord is making up the difference. The goodness of the Lord is meeting me there, if you will. I'm glad that in my times of weakness, yet He's giving me His strength. I'm glad that in my times of sins and faults and failures, He's meeting me with His mercy and His grace. Aren't you glad of that today? Look at that. Five these and five thous, and there's five eyes. There's something there to cover up every shortcoming that you may have. And He gives us five reasons to not fear and to not be dismayed. He says, "For I am with thee. I am with thee." And a lot of people are afraid of loneliness. That's very fearful to some, that they would be alone in this life. But dear friends, you're never alone. You're never going to travel this world alone. Whatever road you may take in this life, you're always going to have the Lord there. You're always going to have the Lord. And so we don't need to fear loneliness. We don't need to fear that we're going to be forsaken of all others. Even though we may be forsaken by all others, the Lord says, "I'm with thee. I'm traveling with you." And dear friends, I assure you, the Lord's the best company you're going to have along the way. I'd rather have the Lord at my side than 1,000 men. If it was one or the other, I'd take the Lord and 1,000 men, but I really care about the Lord. If it was one or the other, He's the best company along life's way. And so that's one reason He gives us. He says, you don't need to be afraid of being alone. You don't have to worry about going through this alone, because I'm with you. I'm going to be there with you. He says, reason number two, I am thy God. I am thy God. You know, you may lose all the gods of this world that you have. You may lose everything in this world that you have built up to be a god, that you've created a god out of. You may lose your money. You may lose your house. You may have made a god out of your family. It doesn't matter what you've done. You may lose all of the gods of this world. But none of that matters, because you still have the true and living God. He says, I am thy God. Now, sometimes things happen in this life and we just can't explain it. Sometimes things happen and we just don't know why things happen. Maybe it's because of the Lord and some plan that He has, or maybe it's just because of time and chance. And we just don't know, and we can drive ourselves crazy trying to figure it out. Lord, why are all these things happening? But you know, the Lord doesn't have to give us all the reasons. And He doesn't give us all the reasons. He doesn't give us the answers, but He gives us Himself, doesn't He? That's better than the answers. I'd rather have God than the answers. And He says, I am thy God. I am your God. I'm still ruling and reigning. I'm still sitting upon the circle of the earth and working my will among the armies of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth. I am your God. Though all else fail, you haven't lost me. He says, I will strengthen thee. Everyone has a fear about personal weakness, I think. We have perhaps a battle to fight in this life, but we're weak within ourselves and we recognize our weakness. And we just don't know how we're going to do it. We just don't have the strength that we need to get through this trial in life. We just don't understand how we're going to press forward. Now, I know some that have left the church because they said they just didn't have the strength to press on. You know, that's what they told me. They said, we just don't have the strength to press on. We're just a small church, and I don't know if I could continue to bear that up, or I just don't have the strength and to just go forward in this life of discipleship. You know, that's a real shame that they're counting on their strength instead of the strength of the Lord. Because He says, I'll strengthen you. I'll strengthen you. Whatever it is that's coming ahead, I will strengthen thee. You know, if someone had told you years ago about the struggles you might face in this life, maybe if they told you when you were a teenager of all the heartaches you'd see, or they told you just decades ago, whatever the case may be, they told you you're going to face all these things, you'd say, there's no way I can get through it. There's just no way I could go through it. There's no way I could face the struggles that I face, the health struggles that I face. There's no way that I could go through this life without my spouse. Maybe I've lost my spouse for whatever reason. There's just no way I could go through that. Maybe I've lost a child. We know some that have lost children, as Sister Sherry recently. You know, they say, well, I just don't know how I would ever get through that. If they told you years ago that would be the case, you'd say, I just die. That would be the end of it. But now here you are after the fact. And you look back and you say, how'd I do that? It was the strength of the Lord. He said, I'll strengthen thee. Even though you look at it and you say, there's just no way I can get through it, yet we have the strength of the Lord. As I said, some say, well, you know, how can we continue as a church? We're just so small. There's so much work to be done. We just don't have the strength that it needs. Well, we don't need our strength. We need the strength of the Lord if we're going to persevere this life. If we're going to make it through, that's what we need. We need the strength of God. You see, whatever, again, the circumstances are, He says, I will strengthen thee. Whatever the situation demands, you don't need to be fearful. You don't need to be dismayed, confused, because the Lord is strengthening you. He promised in another place that as thy days, thy strength shall be. Whatever kind of day you have, whether it's a good day or a bad day, whether it's a frightful day or a glad day, whatever day it is that you're facing, he says, thy strength shall be. And here we have again this precious promise of the Lord. He says, not only I will strengthen thee, but he says, I will help thee. Now, this is intended, I believe, to comfort and strengthen the minds of those who fear others will not help them. Those that think, Lord, I can do this, but I'm going to need the help of others. I'm going to have somebody else help me along this way. The Lord says, I'm going to help you. I'll be there. I'll strengthen thee and I'll help thee. Maybe that's helping us in sending others and giving us those friends and companions along life's way. Maybe that's the great blessing of the Lord to help us along this life. But he says, I will help thee. You don't need to be fearful or dismayed. I will help thee. And he says, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. You know, we don't need to fear that God will not hold us in his hand. We don't need to fear that. There are many in the religious world that are afraid of that. They're afraid, if I just make one misstep, if I just do something wrong, then I'm out of the hand of God. But we don't need to fear that. He says, I will continually hold thee in my hand. I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. We don't need to fear that we're going to lose out on our salvation that God has given to us. We don't need to fear that we're going to make that mistake and lose our home in heaven. That's not possible. While it seems like trials and temptations are great in this life, you're still in the hand of God. And the same hand that put the stars in heaven, the same hand that upholds, as the hymn writer says, the weight of sea and land, the same hand that upholds the unpillared arch of heaven, that same hand, do you not believe today it can hold you? I believe it can, and he says it can. He says he will hold us in that hand, not just in a providential way. He's not just going to bear us up along life's way, but he's going to hold us continually in that special place of grace, to where we don't have to have any fear as far as that concerned. That same hand that brought us up from that state of death and sin and brought us to a place of life and immortality in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, that same hand will continue holding us until we reach heaven's shore. And then it'll continue holding us even longer. And we don't need to fear. We don't need to have any confusion or be dismayed about that. Dear friends, I want to encourage you this morning. You go home and you get a concordance, or you use whatever resource you have. You find those 70 occasions, if you will, of where God says, fear not. And I think you'll find there, again, as I said, many wonderful and precious promises of the Lord, explicit reasons as to why we don't need to have fear. Turn off the TV. Spend a little bit more time in the Lord's Word. And I pray that he'll give you, again, that peace and comfort of mind that you need in this life. You know, the hymn writer said, and I don't know what else to say. It was a very great question he posed. He says, what more can he say than to you he hath said? You know, what more do you want from the Lord than these precious promises along life's way? May the Lord bless you, is my prayer. Let's stand and sing a hymn today.